are about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the SlubSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded. Now for introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Christy Snyder. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Adrian. I'd like to welcome everyone to today's WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. My name is Christy Snyder, and I will be the moderator for this call. This call is being recorded, and within 24 to 48 hours, an MP3 file and presentation will be available on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site, where you may replay it at your convenience. If you have not yet joined the e-meeting, please do so now. An e-meeting URL is available to you from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Today's presenters are Matt Goshgarian and Nishant Tucker. Matt is a member of the WebSphere Application Server Performance Team. He is now the team leader of the Regression Patrol Team within the WAS Performance Team, which has the responsibility of isolating and resolving any performance regressions that may occur within the WebSphere Application Server as WAS developers are building their code. Matt received his BS in Computer Science from Michigan State University. Nishant is a member of the SWAT team, working with customers from around the world. In 2005, he worked on 20 customer engagements. Nishant has also enhanced the Thread Analyzer tool, a tool for analyzing Java thread dumps to work with WebSphere Application Servers 6.0. Before joining IBM, Nishant filed for 7 patents and co-authored 2 papers while doing research for Xerox. He received his BS and MS in Computer Science from Rochester Institute of Technology. Today's topic is WebSphere Application Server Tuning Fundamentals. It will include a PowerPoint presentation followed by a question and answer session. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask attendees to answer a few quick questions via e-meeting polling. After that, the lines will open for a question and answer period. If you are in the e-meeting, you'll see the presentation. If you are unable to access the e-meeting at this time, you may access the presentation from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site or by going to any IBM.com site and typing 7007387 in the search box in the black section at the very top of the page. So at this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Matt. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Christy. As Christy mentioned, you can download this PDF file, the presentation in a PDF format. And as she mentioned, we are going to be taking questions and answers at the end of the presentation. But if there are any questions that we're not able to answer during this time or at the end of the presentation, as you'll see, our email addresses are listed there. So please shoot us an email. We'd be happy to get back to you. Slide 2, please. Okay, so this presentation is geared toward developers, architects, administrators, et cetera, that want to learn the basics of application server performance. We found that performance is not usually a top priority to developers compared to functionality. Thus, we're going to try to create performance awareness. We're going to do that by discussing some basic tuning fundamentals, showing the tuning and monitoring impacts on performance, and we're going to try to teach customers how to test performance themselves. Again, you can download this PDF. Throughout the presentation, we're going to try to provide links, and at the end of the presentation as well, to additional resources so you can test performance on your own. Slide 3, please. So here's a quick look at the agenda. I'm going to start off by talking about a background of performance, going over some quick performance definitions, and show you how WebSphere can run when it's tuned compared to when just using the default parameters. Then I'm going to get into some performance dependencies. Later on, talk about some key tuning parameters. And then Nishant will talk about performance impacts of monitoring, performance tools, and we're going to wrap it up with the conclusion. Slide 4, please. That doesn't look like slide 4 is refreshing. It might be going a little bit slowly, but on slide 4 are some basic performance definitions. And I'm going to be saying the word tuning a lot throughout this presentation. When I say tuning, I really mean to modify system parameters in order to optimize performance. Throughput is a quantitative unit to measure performance, and it's measured in requests per second. and the higher the throughput, the better the performance. More specifically, throughput is the average number of requests that the client can send to the server and come back to the client within a second. We're going to be talking about throughput usually throughout this performance, but another way to measure performance that people sometimes use is response time, which is measured in milliseconds, and usually the lower the response time, the better the performance. And response time, more specifically, is the average time it takes for one request to go out to the server and come back to the client. And this includes processing time and data transfer time. But again, we're going to be talking more in terms of throughput for this presentation. So Trade is a J2EE benchmark application used to measure performance of an application server. We develop it internally here at IBM, although we do make it available for customers to download, and we, again, provide the link at the end of this presentation for you to go and download it on your own. It's basically an application that simulates a stock market, and we use it to test performance, and customers can use it to test performance of their application server as well. And finally, a client workload driver is an application that you'll need to test performance. It basically just simulates requests to stress the server. Slide 5, please. So some performance testing methodologies. When you're running performance tests, you want to be sure you can ensure repeatability. And what this means is you don't want to be running an antivirus scanner going on in the background, or you don't want other users to be logged on to that machine when you're testing the system. This performance testing is a little bit different from function testing because it's very sensitive to any background process, so make sure nothing else unexpected is running on the system. You also want to run on a controlled network if possible. We typically over here run on a private network not connected to the public internet, so we don't have any background admin network scans. It's also important to stress the WebSphere app server to near 100% CPU utilization. This will ensure repeatability and ensure that you're going to get the max throughput that that system is able to handle. When running tests, you want to first perform a warm-up run. It will take a couple minutes to make sure the JSPs are compiled and the JIT is completed. And you want to measure and test steady state. What that means is once the performance has reached a level state, that's where you want to capture the runs. You don't want to capture the throughput of the warm-up run. And you're going to want to execute multiple runs of each test to get an average because variance is expected with performance testing. Typically, we see up to a 2% variance due to certain things. Slide 6, please. So we want to grab your attention with this slide. On the left, you'll notice Trade in our test environment. If we run it out of the box WebSphere, that is, we don't change any default parameters within WebSphere. We just install Trade and test the performance. On the same exact machine, after tuning WebSphere application server, we can get a 66% increase in performance. So by taking a little bit of effort in tuning WebSphere, we can get a much better performance. And the details of this specific test are in the backup portion of my slide, including the hardware specs of this environment and the specific tuning parameters that I used to get that 66% increase in performance. We want to caution you that different environments will yield different results, so if you go off and try this on your own machine, you'll most likely get different throughput values and different values between out-of-the-box WebSphere and a tuned WebSphere. Slide 7, please. So performance depends on several different things. Obviously, hardware. Performance is going to depend on processor speed, the number of processors, cache, memory. Environment, what I mean by that is if you're running a single server versus a cluster, is the database running on the same machine as the app server? How fast is the network between the client and the server? complementing software, meaning what operating system are you going to run? What database are you using? Are you using a web server? The application, whether you're using EJBs versus JDBC, for example, or if you're using caching within the application, and, of course, tuning the application server or the brand of the application server, all will have different effects on performance. Slide 8, please. So that was a quick background on performance. Now I really want to get into some key tuning parameters that will help you increase the performance, as I showed on the previous slide, for your own application server. Slide 9, please. We want to caution you several times, though. Be sure to apply tuning in a test environment first. Different parameters can affect performance in different ways and can cause unexpected results. So please be sure to test your tuning first instead of just applying your changes right into your production environment. And again, refer to the links at the end of the slide that point to our performance tuning guide for more information and more detailed research. Slide 10, please. So I'm going to start off talking about the JVM. With the JVM, you want to set the proper heap size. That will help your performance. You want to set both the initial heap size and the max heap size. And in order to determine what your heap size is, you're going to need to monitor verbose GC or verbose garbage collection. This will tell you how much free space is left in your heap and how often the heap is occurring and how long each garbage collection cycle takes. Ideally, a garbage collection cycle should be no more than 2 seconds in length and no longer than 10 seconds apart for the intervals. And so as you increase your heap size, this will increase the GC length but reduce the cycle frequency. So it's a little bit of a trade-off. And I'd like to just mention that the ideal sizes that I listed aren't an exact science. That's kind of the worst-case scenario, so don't try to get exactly to that goal. It'll be very hard to do so. Slide 11, please. So we have a couple screenshots, and it's taken a little bit to paint here. But as they're coming up, we're really going to go through these screenshots quickly. They're more for you to go download this presentation later so you can play with some of these application server parameters on your own to test performance. So again, this is the JVM screenshot. You'll see the verbose GC. From the administrative console, you can access the verbose GC, and you can set the initial and max heap sizes. Again, please download this presentation and try some of these parameters in a pre-production environment on your own. Slide 12, please. The next thing I'd like to talk about is the object request broker, more specifically, pass-by reference. Now, pass-by reference is disabled by default, and when it's disabled, you're actually using pass-by value. And we want to use caution when using this, enabling pass-by reference, because you only want to enable it if the EJB client and server are on the same WebSphere application server instance. For example, if the web container and the EJB container use the same JVM process, then it is okay to use pass-by reference. Now, pass-by reference will give you up to a 50% boost in performance, so it's quite large. But again, use caution when using this parameter. It can cause unexpected behavior. You want to verify the application is designed to use this parameter because an object's reference is modified by both the caller and callee. Pass-by reference is just, most developers are familiar with that. You're passing a pointer of the object. And this was developed because local interfaces did not exist in previous J2EE specs, and it makes remote EJB interfaces act like local interfaces. Slide 13, please. And I think these screenshots are taking a little bit longer to paint. But again, here's how, from the administrative console of WebSphere, that you can set the pass-by reference. And you'll see it's just a checkbox right there, so you can try that on your own. Slide 14, please. Okay, the next topic is tuning the web container, and there's three different sections within the web container. first is the thread pool. We recommend that you start off using 5 to 10 threads per server CPU as the starting point, both min and the max, and then use Tivoli Performance Viewer to get optimal values. Now, Nishant will talk about Tivoli Performance Viewer later on in the presentation, so I'm not going to go into too much detail now on that. With Keep Alive, Keep Alives allow a TCP connection to remain open between the client and the server, because every time you open and close a connection, this can be costly to performance. So we typically recommend to increase this Keep Alive value to fit your application's needs. And most customers we found even set this value to an unlimited number of Keep Alives. The next section is sessions. And so first, you're going to want to set your number of in-memory sessions. And you're going to want to set it to a number of estimated sessions during peak load, or maybe a little bit more to provide a cushion. So you're going to have to estimate how many sessions you're going to have during peak load and set it to a number a little bit higher than that. And this is somewhat of a trade-off because the more you have, the more memory you'll use, which will, you know, hurt performance a little bit. Next, we recommend to disable session overflow in production. Overflow, if you go beyond the number of in-memory sessions, you'll be entering the overflow region, which is unbounded, and this hogs memory. You're going to want to set session timeout. A low session timeout uses less memory and is more secure. For instance, if you're using a bank application, you may want to kick out the users if there's a period of inactivity. However, there may be some cases, depending on your application, where you're going to want to increase the timeout size. Lastly, session replication. You're going to want to disable this if it's not required. Session replication provides reliability. Basically, a copy of the session will be copied to N number of servers. But again, disable this because every time you copy the replication, it's taking up CPU and memory. So slide 15, please. And slide 15 through 17, I believe, are screenshots of how to set the thread pool to keep alive in the sessions. So we're just going to go through these kind of fast. We'll let them paint. Again, please download these. These are for you to download and try them out on your own later. Slide 16, please. And as slide 16 is loading up, I'd just like to point out that this is the Keep Alive screenshot. It's taken a while to load up, but you'll see the maximum persistent requests is set to -1 here. In other words, that's setting the Keep Alives to an unlimited amount. Just to point that out. We'll give it a few more seconds to paint here so you can get an idea of the Keep Alive screenshot. And move on to slide 17, please. Okay, and slide 18, please. Okay, the next topic is JDBC. So with the JDBC driver, we typically recommend to use Type 4 over Type 2. Type 4 typically performs faster, and Type 4 runs in all Java, whereas Type 2 runs in native code. So we provide a link because we recommend that you use Type 4 if your database vendor supports it. Again, please go back to this presentation later, check this link to see if your database vendor supports Type 4. If it does use it, we see about a 10% increase in performance when using Type 2 over Type 4, but again, that can vary depending on your environment. The next topic is connection pools. With JDBC connection pools, start off using the default values, and then you would set the max and min connections using Tivoli Performance Viewer to find the optimal amount. Once again, Nishant will talk about TPV later on in the presentation. Slide 19, please. Slide 19, again, is just the screenshot for the JDBC driver. Slide 20. And slide 20 is the JDBC connection pool. It's taken a little long to paint, so we're just going to move on to slide 21, please. So if tuning the application server itself is still not enough in terms of performance, if you're still looking for more, there can be performance within application development. Now, I'm going to go through this a little bit fast because in the interest of time and to give Nishant some time to talk on his portion of the presentation, but basically within the application server, it's going to take a little bit more effort, but there could be greater benefits. WebSphere provides a service called dynamic caching, or for short, we call it DynaCache. If you develop your application with DynaCache, you can improve performance over 100%. Trade, the performance application that we provide externally to customer, can be used with or without DynaCache. So try it out for yourself to see how well it can perform. And we provide a link right here for more information on developing your application with DynaCache. Some quick rules of thumb. When developing, you're going to want to avoid large objects. They cause fragmentation in memory. The rule of thumb is to use less than 200K in size. With synchronization issues, that's when your system won't scale. You can detect sync issues using thread dumps and keep synchronization blocks small. Use different objects as locks when possible. And session sizes, once again, keep session sizes small if you can. A good rule of thumb is less than 100K. Slide 22, please. And if tuning the application server and tuning your application is still not enough, you could always throw more hardware at it to boost your performance. So, and that can depend on a variety of things. How many tiers are you using? If you're using one tier, then your application server and database are on a single machine. Splitting those up onto separate machines in two-tier will increase performance, and you'll get much better performance if you have a three-tier machine. If you bring in an HTTP server on a third machine, which would serve static requests. We can then get into scaling, where if you have vertical scaling, you can run multiple processors across the single machine, and horizontal scaling, where you can cluster WebSphere across multiple machines. And finally, hyper-threading. If supported, we recommend to use this, but again, make sure you test first. But hyper-threading will logically increase the number of physical processors. Slide 23, please. Once again, we just want to caution everyone, remember to apply these tuning changes into a test environment first. We can't stress that enough. Test this, research it before you put it into your actual production environment because they can cause unexpected results. Slide 24, please. And with that, I'll hand it over to Nishant, who will talk about performance impacts of monitoring.
Thank you, Matt. We're going to move on to something a little bit different. As Matt said, we're going to move on to the performance impacts of monitoring. Since this is the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange, we decided to add a little part about how we can actually help you support your systems and solve problems faster. There are three sections in this, so how to look at monitoring in the WebSphere application server itself, in the operating system, and in the network. Slide 25, please. Monitoring is a performance hit. We know that. So why would it be worth taking that performance hit? Well, with monitoring, you can catch problems before they cause problems for the user. This is very important if you don't want your user realizing things are going wrong. You can catch them much earlier. Also, if a failure does occur, you can gather documentation during that first failure instead of having to recreate the problem. Now, I did mention that there is a performance hit, but we hope to show you that the performance hit is less than you might have thought before. The different areas you can gather monitoring at are the WebSphere application server itself, the operating system, the network, the application, the HTTP server, the database, and other backend resources. Slide 26, please. So in the WebSphere application server, there are two things you can do. You can enable tracing with the trace string set to none. This is the default configuration with WAS 6.0. This allows you to trace to a file without having to restart the application server. It's very useful in case support comes back and requests for you to trace a certain part of the system. The second thing you can do is enable verbose GC. Matt talked about this a little bit before. What this allows you to do is detect memory leaks and garbage collection-related performance problems. Remember, do not enable verbose GC in production unless you're specifically debugging a problem. Verbose GC outputs to a file, and the file is not rolled over, so it can cause problems if you keep it running too long. Slide 27, please. Here is a graph of the relative performance. In the beginning, Matt showed the graph of a default configuration of WebSphere with trade running, and then the tuned environment. Those same numbers are used for the left two columns in this graph. On the right column, we took the tuned environment and then enabled tracing. That showed a performance hit of only 4 requests per second. So the performance dropped from 431 requests per second to 427 requests per second. So enabling this setting is less than 1% of performance hit. Slide 28, please. Again, the left two columns are the same. The right column is the tuned environment with verbose GC enabled. The performance dropped by 2 requests per second, which is under 0.5%. Slide 29. On the operating system, there are 3 major things you can monitor: per process statistics, the overall system statistics, and the local network statistics. For the process statistics, you're really looking at CPU and memory consumption. The tools to use on Unix-like environments are PS, and on Windows are Perfmon. These are used to determine if the processes are using the expected CPU and memory. If you see something out of whack there, such as a process you don't know what it's doing and it's using up a lot of memory or a lot of CPU, you then know to look into it further and try and figure out if that's potentially causing a performance problem or even a stability problem for you. The next thing is the overall CPU memory statistics, and the tools to use on Unix-like systems are VMstat and on Windows, Perfmon. These are used to detect swapping and verify the overall CPU memory utilization. So again, if your CPU utilization is near 100%, but you're not nearly at peak load, you may want to look into it. Also, you do not want to be swapping when in production. The whole Java process should be in memory. Whenever you swap, you lose a lot of performance. The third thing for network stats is the tool to use is NetStat. This is used to verify the number of connections to and from the machine. The reason you wouldn't necessarily want to use Perfmon or you would want to use NetStat in addition to Perfmon is that NetStat, you can actually look at things per port number. That way you can determine the connections actually going to WebSphere and on what port they're entering on, and the connections leaving to the database server, for example, and actually map those specific connections up to specific servers. Slide 30, please. So to test this, I wrote a sample script. Remember, the SIP script is a sample only. Do not use it in production because the script does not roll over and will, if you let it run long enough, fill up your hard drive. What the script does is it outputs the date, PS, NetStat, and VMStat information. If you let this run for a while, then you'll be able to gather information. If anything unexpected happens, you can go back and look at this and figure out what was causing the problem from the operating system's point of view. Slide 31, please. Now, this slide is very similar to the previous slides we looked at. The left two columns are the same, and the right column is the tuned environment when running the OS script. The performance dropped from 431 requests per second with the tuned environment to 422 requests per second with the OS script running. This was a performance hit of a little under 2%, and still, it's not a humongous performance hit. Slide 32, please. There are other items you can monitor are the network, which for which you can use tools such as ping, telnet, or a simple HTTP client. This is used to verify that the network isn't dropping packets, it isn't overloaded, and it's able to properly route HTTP requests. Now, I know all of you are thinking this is kind of pointless to monitor the network like that with just simple pings, but I have been in situations where a faulty firewall has had everyone running in circles for quite a while. Another thing you can monitor is the database. Now, the tools for this are more vendor-specific, and also the operating system-level tools that were mentioned in the OS script section. This is used to verify that the database isn't overloaded and that it's working properly. And you can also monitor the HTTP server. The tools for this, again, are vendor-specific and operating system-level tools, and they're used to verify that the HTTP server isn't overloaded and that it's properly routing requests. You can also monitor other back-end resources that you may have running or other items which are part of your system. Slide 33, please. Here's a sample script we use to monitor networking. What we did is we ran the script between the WebSphere application server and the database, and between the database and WebSphere application server. And we'll show you the numbers in the next slide. What the script does is it simply pings an IP address and writes out the date. The usage of the script is script followed by the IP address. And remember, do not use this in production. Make sure you create a version that rolls over automatically if you want to actually use it in production. This script should be run between all sections of the network. That way, you can make sure that every single piece of hardware that is involved in your network will be passed through. And an example is the client pings the HTTP server, which pings the client. The HTTP server pings the app server, which pings the HTTP server. And the app server pings the database, which pings the app server. That way, if any of these sections go down or have network problems, you can detect it and don't waste your time trying to figure out if it's an application problem. Slide 34, please. Again, we have a similar graph here, and on the right is network script. The number of requests per second dropped from 431 to 428.3. This is a drop of less than 0.5%. So, again, not very much overhead there. So, slide number 35, please. Why do we recommend some items and not others? For example, why don't we recommend PMI? The performance penalty versus the gains in problem determination. PMI will help you determine a lot of things, but it's a large performance hit, and it may not necessarily help you as much as some of the other items we recommended. That does not mean that we do not recommend you do that if it's worth it for your specific environment. These are just what we saw in tests here. Now, remember, all the items we have listed here should be enabled during test and can be enabled in production if you see it fit. And always, always, always test before you put anything in production. Verbose GC, tracing with no trace string, the operating system monitoring, and the network monitoring all had less than 2% performance difference from the tuned environment. We'd also recommend adding database monitoring, HTTP server monitoring, but we did not run any tests with those scenarios. Slide 36, please. Slide 36 is a similar graph to what we showed before, but this time we took the tuned environment and enabled all of the items above, verbose GC, tracing, the operating system script, and the network script. Still, with all four of those items enabled, we have less than a 2% performance differential. This is why we recommend that you enable some or all of these in production after testing them thoroughly. Slide 37, please. Now I'm going to go on to more of the standard performance talks and go into performance tooling. I'm going to talk about PMI, specifically Performance Viewer that Matt has mentioned before, and different advisors you can use. Slide 38, please. PMI stands for the Performance Monitoring Infrastructure. This is an infrastructure within WebSphere for gathering performance metrics from the application server. Performance viewers are applications that allow for viewing of PMI data. Examples of this are Tivoli Performance Viewer, which is included with the WebSphere application server. There are other Tivoli products which also act as viewers. And then there are third-party products that can be used as viewers. You can also write your own viewer since PMI is an open specification. There are performance advisors as well. These applications give tuning advice based on the PMI data. Examples are there are actually two that are included with WebSphere Application Server. Tivoli Performance Viewer has an advisor within it, and that is accessible through the admin console. And there's also a runtime performance advisor, which is accessible through WS Admin. In addition, there are third-party products which act as performance advisors, and since PMI is open, you can write your own performance advisors. Slide 39, please. This just shows you how to enable PMI. You can enable it on both the app server and node agents, and you go to the specified PMI page and check the Enable Performance Monitoring Infrastructure tab, click OK, save, and restart the server. Remember, when enabling PMI, that requires a server restart. So if you want to enable PMI, make sure you do it before you put yourself into production. That way you don't have to experience any downtime. Slide 40. Thank you. This is a screenshot of the PMI configuration screen. Although this is specific for the servers, the screen looks the exact same for the node agents. Just wait for it to finish painting. Once again, PMI requires a restart, but changing the monitoring level below does not. So the different monitoring levels you have are none, which no statistics are collected. Basic, where they collect some very basic statistics. Extended, they get some more, and all, where they collect everything. You can also enable custom set of metrics. This will allow you to just incur the cost on the metrics that you actually want to look at. So you can, if you set it to none now or set it to basic, after you restart the server, it'll go back to that level. What if you want to change it during runtime? Well, you go to the same area and then click on the runtime tab. Slide 41, please. In this runtime tab, it looks very similar, and what you can do is you can then change the monitoring level here. Notice that there is no checkbox for enabling PMI. If PMI is not enabled, then you cannot really do anything on the runtime tab. But once you do make a change on the runtime tab, if you check the Persist My Changes box, it will save it back to the configuration. That way, the next time you restart your server, it'll be at the same level. Slide 42, please. The performance viewers. Why would you want to use them? Well, you'd want to use them to properly tune an environment. Since to properly tune an environment, you need to find performance bottlenecks. Tuning settings at random takes a lot longer and can lead to suboptimal performance. Whereas if you do things methodologically, if you follow a method to find the bottlenecks and take care of them one at a time, you'll be able to get optimal performance a lot faster. Remember, when doing this, have a performance goal in mind. If you do not, you could end up tuning forever. So how it works is WebSphere Application Server outputs performance metrics via the PMI interface. Then you have a performance viewer or advisor gather those metrics, and you can look at the results and then make tuning changes based on those results. Feed them back into WebSphere, rerun your tests, get more metrics, and then make more tuning changes. Do that until you've decided your performance is good enough for what you need. Slide 43, please. To get to Tivoli Performance Viewer, what you do is you go to Monitoring and Tuning, Performance Viewer, Current Activity, and then click the server name. This is a screenshot of what it looks like. Slide 44, please. From now on, all the screenshots will be just of Tivoli Performance Viewer. We will not include the rest of the admin console. So within Tivoli Performance Viewer, a lot of people want to log what's happening. That way they can look at it in more detail at their leisure. To do that, within Tivoli Performance Viewer, just simply click on the server name, settings, and log. There you can set the duration, the file size, the number of historical files, and a lot of other stuff. Slide 45, please. In order to enable logging, you must go into the table view or graph view. And as you see, there are different buttons here. There's a start logging button on the top. You click that. Once you click that, the bottom screenshot will be shown. And the start logging button will be replaced by a stop logging button. In order to stop logging, simply click the stop logging button. Slide 46, please. Now, I apologize here. The red circles are a little out of place on this slide. So in order to get to the table view and actually view the performance metrics yourself, what you need to do is on the left-hand side, click Performance Modules, and check the modules that you want to look at the time. Then you need to click on View Modules. That is the button that is covered up by the red circle. So click that button, and you will get either a graph view or a table view. And if you see just above the third circle, the one on the right-hand side at the bottom, there's a View Graph button. And that button will allow you to change between graph view and table view. So here is the table view, and what you can see is that on the very bottom is the oldest items that are being shown, and at the very top are the newest items. It's kind of hard to see because the screenshot's small, but the middle column is the number of live sessions. Now, I know that we've talked a little bit about sessions, so I decided to use this as an example, but here we have the number of sessions growing unbounded. They started one, and they go up to nearly 3,000 in only a few minutes, even though we only have 1,000 in-memory sessions. We'll come back to this later. Slide 47, please. Slide 47 may take a little bit longer to paint. It is the graph view of Tivoli Performance Viewer, and what it's showing is just the same data as the table view, except graphically. This is at a different time, so it won't exactly match up with the table view. But the line that's steadily increasing is the number of sessions. The line that's constant is the current number of threads in the thread pool, and the line that's going up and down is the number of active threads that are doing work. This is a very nice and easy way to actually look at trends in your data. There is one thing you need to consider, though. In order to view this, you're required to have a browser which supports SVG or scalable vector graphics. Firefox 1.5 has native SVG support, and Internet Explorer users and older Netscape users can download an SVG plugin from Adobe's website. It's completely free. Slide 48, please. Tivoli Performance Viewer Advisor. This is within Tivoli Performance Viewer, and it gives advice on resources. Threads, database connections, data source, session utilization, all of those are resources that it can give advice on. It can give advice on both configuration and runtime performance. Slide 49, please. To get to it, simply click on the advisor link within Tivoli Performance Viewer that's circled in red, and it'll take you to the screen that you see painted eventually. It gives you some information at the top about what's actually going on with the current system and what other current resources are doing, but it also gives you alerts and other warnings and advice on the bottom. As you can see, I circled a certain alert, the top one, which is talking about the session cache. If we go to slide 50, we can go into that in a little bit more detail. Now remember, we've talked a lot about sessions, so I decided to go back to this one again. And this particular advice is telling us that the session cache for this particular application is smaller than the average number of live sessions. And it tells us to increase the session cache size to improve performance. Gives us the severity of this, the description, what actions you can take, so specifically where to go to modify this parameter, and some more details. Slide 51. So in conclusion, we've given you a background performance and shown that performance can increase significantly after WebSphere is tuned for the application and the environment. We've talked about some key tuning parameters, and that tuning WebSphere is only the beginning. Further tuning can be done at the application level or at the environment level. We've talked about performance impacts of monitoring, and that doing a little monitoring does not have a heavy performance hit, and it can save a lot of time fixing problems. And we've talked about performance tools, and how monitoring performance metrics enables you to reach optimal tuning with minimal effort. Slide 52, please. This chart includes links to a number of sites that have provided valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Developer Works offers in-depth technical information, The events link on the support page points you to webcasts and conference information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The ESR tool is for Password Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Support link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Can we skip to the last slide? There are a few slides left in here, and we're going to leave them for you to look at offline that just give a little bit more information about the hardware configurations and the test configuration we used. I'm going to pass it back to Christy for questions.
Okay, thank you, Nishant and Matt, for a great presentation. So right now, we would like to conduct a short poll. Questions will appear in the same time e-meeting, and your participation is greatly appreciated. So for the first question, the question is, on a scale of 1 to 5, choose the number that best describes how you feel about this statement. The information presented today was useful to me. Please enter 1 if you strongly agree, 2 if you agree, 3 for neutral, 4 if you disagree, and 5 if you strongly disagree. Okay, the second question is, on a scale of 1 to 5, choose the number that best describes how you feel about this statement. The material was well organized and clearly presented. Please answer 1 if you strongly agree, 2 if you agree, 3 for neutral, 4 if you disagree, and 5 if you strongly disagree. Question 3. Did this call meet your training expectations? Please answer 1 for yes and 2 for no. Next, please provide us with comments to help improve future webcasts. And I'll pause for a few moments to allow everyone time to answer. And finally, is there a topic you would like to see scheduled? We welcome any ideas that you may have, and once again, I'll pause for a few moments to allow everyone to answer. This concludes polling. Thanks again for your participation. At this point, Adrian, we would like to open the lines for questions. I will now turn it over to our presenters.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone phone. Once again, press star 1 for questions. We go first to Bobby Parikh. Go ahead, please.
Okay. The vendor-specific tools that were mentioned to test the Oracle or any other database or web server, do you have the URLs for that, or can you send it to us?
The URL is in the presentation. Let me see if I can find the slide really quickly here. And then maybe Christy can go back to that. That is on, Christy, could you go back to slide 18, is that possible? And again, I believe you can download this presentation in the PDF format from the Tech Exchange site, so you can easily copy and paste that URL.
I also have another question.
Sure.
Okay. The PMI that you mentioned for V6, what we found out, it was, first of all, you say that it has quite a bit of impact. What we understood is V6, PMI was turned on by default. Is that a defect if it is, or
PMI is turned on by default? It is part of the spec. It has a different performance impact depending on the system. With metrics set to none, on a four-way AIX box, we observed a nearly 4% impact. But it is required by the J2E specification for it to be on. Now, on a smaller box, it'll probably have less of an impact. I think, Matt, you can confirm this. Some of the people on your team did a test on a two-way box, and it had a 1.5% impact.
Correct. Again, performance differs depending on the box and the environment.
And the application.
The only reason we mentioned, it really doesn't have that much of a significant impact. It's really, the trade-off is up to you. Do you prefer to have PMI on by default for debugging purposes, or do you care about that extra 4% performance boost?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll go next to Alpesh Kattari. Go ahead, please.
I have a question. Do you guys have any recommended tuning for heap fragmentation?
Yes, we went over the heap. Let me see if I can find the slide. We covered it briefly on slide 10, I believe.
The two big items to remember when worrying about heap fragmentation is reduce the number of large objects you have. That's a big one. And the second one is the smaller your heap size is, the less likely it is to fragment. If you need a large heap size, what you want to do then is set your min and max heap size to different values, which will then keep your heap size as small as possible and let the JVM only expand it when needed.
So the follow-up question on that, like, is there any recommendation for, like, how much the mean heap size should be, then max, any ratio or anything like that?
It is really dependent upon your application. Your max should be enough to hold the steady state of the application, and your min should be enough to have enough memory for the startup of your application. Setting your min too low does not necessarily hurt. It just will slow down your initial startup.
And again, you can determine the interval and the length of the garbage collection by enabling verbose GC, but again, only do that as a test and make sure you disable verbose GC once you've collected the statistics. Make sure you disable it in your production environment.
We'll go next to Andrew Pierce. Go ahead, please.
Hi. The presentation primarily deals with version 6 of the product, and I was wondering if you could speak to briefly about how the recommendations we've presented here would apply in a version 5.1 environment.
That's a good question, and you know, I may have to get back to you on that. I want to say that most of the recommendations are basic enough that they apply to both WebSphere 6 and WebSphere 5.1, But if you could give me an email, I'm Matt, and my email address is listed at the beginning of the presentation. I can confirm that for sure, whether that's true or not.
Okay, great.
One thing I would like to mention is very few of the numbers will be the same. So you need to make sure to not go by the raw numbers for 6-0 if you're going to use 5. You shouldn't do that anyways because your hardware is probably very different, but the numbers change a lot between versions.
The numbers you're speaking of being the impact of both tracing enabled and that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll go next to Anoop Khurana. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. I know you guys didn't discuss about anything on the connection factories, but is there any recommendation you guys have about setting up the queue connection factories, like going with the max numbers, or any recommendation you can suggest for the queue connection factories or database connection boost kind of a thing?
I can't think of any offhand. Again, if you send me an email, I could look that up and ask some of my peers on my team, and I can get back to you.
Okay.
Sorry, I couldn't answer your question any further, but yeah, I'll look into that and get back to you.
Okay.
Once again, it is star one if you'd like to ask a question. We have no further questions at this time. I'll turn the conference back over to Christy for closing comments.
Okay, thank you, Adrian. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation as well. Remember, a replay of this presentation will be available on the IBM WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site within the next day or two. And we hope you will join us for future presentations, which will also be announced on this site. The presentation will also be edited for slide 46, where the red highlighting was a little off. So if you download that, that'll be fixed. And we thank you very much for joining us today. And thank you, Matt and Nishant, for presenting.
Again, that does conclude our conference call for today. You may disconnect at this time. Have a nice day. Thank you.